When it comes to fire safety aboard commercial aircraft, Constantine Gus Sarkos is the nation's expert. As head of the FAA's fire safety branch, Sarkos and his team have played a pivotal role improving cabin and cargo safety, leading to a dozen significant changes to U.S. and foreign aircraft during the past three decades. For his work, he's been named one of the 33 finalists for this year's Service to America medals. He tells Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp more about that work and the likelihood of an aircraft catching fire nowadays.
I tell them it's very unlikely. I tell them that, you know, I travel by air regularly and I don't have any concerns. The accident rate has improved over the years. The possibility of a fatal aircraft accident is in the neighborhood of one per every 5 or 10 million flights. So if you flew every day for many lifetimes, it would still be improbable that you would get in an accident. Also, we made significant improvements with regard to aircraft fire safety that makes it unlikely that if there is a fire that will cause an accident, or if a fire should occur in a crash, your chances of getting out of the airplane are much higher as a result of the improvements that have been implemented.
When did you get into this?
I started working for the FAA in 1969, so I've been here at the William J. Hughes Technical Center. Then it was called NAFEC, National Aviation Facilities Experimental Center, for 46 years and counting.
Wow. So those were back in the days where people probably chain smoked on airplanes and there was a far greater chance of fires and things like that in the cabins than there are today.
Absolutely. In fact, there was smoking. Smoking was attributed to a fatal accident which occurred in the early 70s in a Brazilian airliner. And after that, it was banned, at least in the lavatory where it appears the fire originated. And of course, later on, it was banned throughout the airplane. But you're right. In those days, the incidence of accidents and then fires was far greater. I happened several days ago to be looking at our accident files back in the early 70s, and I was just amazed where I found four or five accidents that occur where there were fires and fire fatalities. So the record has improved tremendously over the years.
How did you get into this business?
Well, after I graduated from Rutgers University with a master's degree in mechanical engineering, I began working for the General Electric Reentry Systems Department in Philadelphia, designing nose cones for missile reentry systems. And doing that work, I was exposed to high temperature physics, and so I got a little bit of a fire background. GE eventually went out of that business entirely, the reentry systems business, and I could see the handwriting on the wall, and I was fortunate enough to pick up a position here in the fire safety branch, and I was able to apply some of my knowledge from working at GE at high temperature physics to combustion and fires in airplanes.
What attracted you to working for the FAA?
Well, it was more convenience than anything. It was a facility that was near where I grew up. The work sounded very interesting. So when I started working here, I was surprised about how challenging the work was and the potential impact that our work could have on aviation.
In your more than four decades at the job, you've been a leader of numerous safety innovations and movements by the FAA to make the whole process of flying safer. Can you just mention one or two that you're most proud of? What are your most proud achievements when it comes to safety on airplanes?
Okay, well, I would like to first say that the achievements that we've made over the years has been possible through a team effort. We have a great group of people that I work with. I'm the manager of the branch, but I feel really privileged and honored to have that position. And we work together, and we've been able to accomplish a lot. Also, we have tremendous facilities here at the Technical Center, so we do all our work in-house. So by doing our work in-house, we've become very good at it. There's two improvements that I like to highlight. One has to do with the cushions that are in the airplane. They are comprised of polyurethane foam, which is a fairly flammable material, probably the most flammable material in the airplane. And we conceive of the concept of a fire-blocking layer, which essentially is a fire-resistant pillowcase, so to speak. So seat cushions are perhaps the most flammable material in the airplane due to the urethane foam composition. When we began running tests with these materials, we discovered that they ignite fairly easily, burn rapidly, and produce large quantities of smoke and spread fire quickly. It was not feasible to treat the foams, so we came up with the concept of a fire blocking layer, which is sort of like a pillowcase made of fire resistant material. And that was a very practical solution and imparted a great degree of fire resistant to the cushions. We did full scale tests. We actually set an airplane on fire with a section of the airplane furnished just like it would be in real life and subjected it to a burning fuel fire, simulating a crash where fuel was ignited. And we showed that the fire blocking layer provided 40, 60 seconds of additional time for passengers to escape. We developed a standard that led to a regulation, and over a three-year period, 650,000 seats were retrofitted in the U.S. fleet, and that was a tremendous improvement in safety. The first accident that occurred after we retrofitted the fleet was in 1988 at Dallas. It was a 727 that had a problem with takeoff. It crashed, caught on fire. There were 108 people on board the airplane, and 94 were able to escape. Unfortunately, 14 were trapped in a section of the airplane. Those that survived, it is believed that as many as a third were saved by the presence of fire-blocking layers. That's 30 people. So that was extremely rewarding.
It gave them enough extra time to get out of the plane.
That's right. What we do with regard to post-crash fire is improve survivability by trying to provide a greater window of opportunity to escape. And by using very fire-resistant materials, not just in the seats, but subsequently in the walls and ceiling of the airplane, the stow bins, we've provided minutes of additional time to escape. And another accident, which illustrates that, was the Asiana 777 accident, which was almost 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago in San Francisco, which was a hard landing where the pilot came in rather low and hit the embankment, and the airplane had its tail dislodged from the fuselage, almost catapulted. There was a fire, yet all were able to escape. There were, unfortunately, three fatalities, but they were due to non-fire causes. So that is probably the most recent example.
Yeah, I remember that. You mentioned that there was something else. You said that the seats were one of two things that you're most proud of. What's the other one?
The second thing that I'm most proud of, and this was really an amazing accomplishment by a team of five engineers and technicians that worked in our group with the chief scientist and technical advisor on fuel systems from the FAA, following TW-800. TW-800 was a fuel tank explosion that occurred shortly after takeoff from JFK, causing 230 fatalities. Our folks developed a very practical and cost-effective fuel tank inerting system, a system that was practical in the sense that it was highly reliable, made of very few moving parts, but had a clever design that enabled the production of nitrogen from devices called hollow fiber membranes that actually separate the nitrogen from the oxygen in the air. That system was a very simple design. It was demonstrated in flight tests in an Airbus A320 one summer, and the following summer in the NASA shuttle carrying airplane. That airplane was not being utilized because, unfortunately, the Columbia accident had occurred. And because of that tragic accident, the shuttle program was on the hold. So NASA was kind enough to allow us to use their airplane to run flight tests on this system. And the results were so impressive that Boeing took our design and began and ran their own tests and confirmed our results and began installing systems using our design in their production airplanes back in the 2006-2007 time framework, before the FAA issued a regulation which we produced the enabling technology for in 2008, which impacted over a 35-year period 5,000 airplanes. That was, I think, perhaps one of our greatest accomplishments in terms of technology to improve aircraft fire safety.
You work very closely with the industry and with other countries then, because everybody's rooting for you. Everybody's rooting for you to make more advances to make everything safer.
Yes, we work with other countries, with other regulatory authorities. The aircraft safety regulations are harmonized, not just for fire safety, but all aspects of aircraft fire safety. So the Europeans, the Americans, the Canadians all seek to have the highest level of safety, so they're harmonized. Because of our capabilities, I know we're the recognized leader in aircraft fire safety. Sometimes we work with industry. They are interested in our program. They participate in our program where there is a need for working together. We have two working groups that meet a total of 5 times per year. And at these working group meetings, we're able to discuss our work and plan our future work with both our industry and foreign regulator partners.
And you've been doing this since 1969. So natural question is, do you plan to stop anytime soon?
Well, I'm still going pretty good, but I'm starting to think about retirement. You know, I still am able to do my job, but I can see where, you know, I'm slowing down a little bit, and I'm thinking more, although I haven't made concrete plans yet, about retirement and traveling and spending more time with family and friends and some of my little grandchildren. I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old that I would like to spend more time with. So I'm beginning to think about it, but the work is so interesting and challenging, and I work with a great group of people that I'm reluctant to do it, but I think I will probably be making that decision within the next year or two.